May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. My bishop in Maine, Chilton Knudsen, had a favorite bumper sticker. She would mention it from time to time. That bumper sticker said, "There is no secular world. There is no secular world." A few weeks ago, John and Hugh and I drove south from Sacramento, California, to Vista, about 500 miles. Vista is where my mother lives. And we decided not to do that drive in one day, but to split it up so that we could drive through Kings Canyon and Sequoia National Forest in the Sierra Nevada Mountains, southeast of Sacramento. Some of you have probably been to one or both of these national forests, national parks. They are where most of the giant sequoia trees in the world are still living. Sequoias are different from redwoods. I didn't realize that until we went there. I had seen the redwood trees, which grow on the coast of California. They need the fog, and they grow very, very, very tall. They are the tallest trees, and they continue to grow taller throughout their lives. But sequoias are the largest trees. They grow only in a narrow band of elevation between 5,000 and 7,000 feet on the side of the mountain in the Sierra Nevadas. The sequoias also grow very, very tall, but at a certain point they stop growing up and they continue growing out. Sequoias continue to grow larger, wider with each passing year. They are the largest living things on this planet. While we were at one of the ranger stations, I read about some of the history of the area, and that sometime in the 1800s, before the area was designated and the trees were protected, a man had one of the very largest, maybe the largest, trees cut down for lumber. And after the tree was dead and on the ground, he counted the growth rings and he realized what he had done. What they had done. They had just killed one of the oldest living things on the planet. That tree had been living when Christ walked the planet. In fact, that tree had been living for over 1,000 years when Christ walked on the planet. That tree that lay on the ground before them was about 3,200 years old. That man, when he found what they had done, stopped logging. And he became outspoken in his protection of the great trees. Now, there are no sequoias anymore as old as that one was, but there are still many venerable trees there in those national forests. We saw a tree named General Sherman, one of the largest. They think this tree weighs 2.7 million pounds. It has a circumference of 103 feet around its base, and it is about 2,200 years old. So that afternoon, I drove our rental car on those winding mountain roads through a portion of both of those parks. When we entered Kings Canyon Park at the base of the mountain, the temperature was in the 90s and climbing. It was forecast to be over 100 degrees. It's basically desert at the base of those mountains. But as we climbed into the mountains, the temperature dropped to the 80s, the 70s. Finally, the highest we got was somewhere around 9,000 feet, and it got down into the 50s. It was a different world. And we stopped at several of these groves where the largest trees grew so that we could walk among them for a short time. I took lots of pictures, but it was impossible to get an entire tree into one photo. They're simply too large. And I asked John to take a picture of me with the trees in the background at one point, and he said, "You are going to look very small." I just laughed. Because one of the reasons that it's important for us to know about and to go to these places of incredible natural beauty in God's creation is to remember our place in creation. It's to remember that we are very small. In the scheme of God's creation, each one of us is a very important but very small part. Sometimes we humans forget that we are part of an interconnected web of life. And as a culture, we treat the world around us and often the creatures in it as if they had no value except in terms of dollars and cents. We often treat God's creation as if it were something to be used, even disposed of, instead of something to be cared for and cherished. We try to define what is sacred and what is secular, instead of realizing that all of creation, everything that God has created, is sacred. It is all sacred. There is no secular world. The Gospel of John tells us that the Word became flesh and lived among us. The Greek word that's translated lived literally means tented, camped out, as in pitched a tent with us. It's a deeply biblical image found a lot of places, particularly in the Old Testament, that God is pitching his tent with us. Christ, the Word, who was in the beginning with God, became flesh and pitched his tent with us. In doing so, he showed us the importance of creation, the sacredness of creation. He showed us that matter matters. He showed us that we too are holy. And so in today's gospel passage from John's gospel, many of his followers are scandalized by Jesus' teaching. Some of them begin to fall away. They simply cannot grasp or cannot accept what he's trying to teach them. How can Jesus be both human and divine? How can he share his body and blood with them? How can Jesus ascend to heaven? What is it about the incarnation and the ascension that is so scandalous? That is the question this gospel passage raises. Those who left Jesus, the students who left him, the followers who left him, could not understand that he became human so that we could become divine. Does that sound scandalous? It's actually Orthodox theology. In the 4th century, Athanasius wrote The Incarnation of the Word. He was arguing against Arius. Arius was saying that Christ was not fully human, and that was a heresy. And so Athanasius wrote this treatise, The Incarnation of the Word, and in it he writes, "He became what we are, that we might become what he is." He wrote that we are saved because in Christ, God himself became a human being and died a human death. God became a human to make humans divine. The immortal became mortal to raise mortals to immortality. No mere creature could achieve this, he wrote, but only the very Word of God. And the great Council of Nicaea, from which we get our Nicene Creed, decided that Athanasius had it right. And this continues to be Orthodox theology. He became what we are, that we might become what he is. There is no secular world. God became human to make us divine. And all of creation is sacred. All is infused with the Spirit of God, and therefore it is worthy of our care. We must not use and discard any part of God's creation as if it did not matter. Matter matters. We matter. God created all that is and called it good. We are called, therefore, to a greater responsibility for all life on this planet. From the smallest of creatures to the largest sequoia tree, all is sacred, and all is worthy of our care. He became what we are, that we might become what he is. It is a large calling that we can only begin to do with God's help. And some may find this too difficult a teaching. But may we respond like Peter in today's gospel, who said, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to know and believe that you are the Holy One of God."